Hey, if I didn't tell you already, I'm sorry. My name's Judah, married to Chelsea. We've been married now for almost 20 years. And thank you. Thank you, Nima. Thank you for the clapping. It really is our privilege to be a part here of Church Home. I'm really excited tonight. I've never really done a collection of talks like this in my whole life. I'd like to take the next 7 weeks. So wherever you're going to be, that's cool. I'm going to be here at the Saban for the next 7 weeks. And I want to talk from a subject, what I wish more preachers would say. What I wish more preachers would say. I'm 40 now, so I'm just going to tell you the truth. We're going to do 7 different weeks of what I wish more preachers would say. And it is going to be an amazing time, hopefully. Hopefully I don't offend you. Oh, man, it's going to be great. All right. That was awesome. I didn't know you were back there. Thanks for playing. You just play for a couple of minutes. It'll help. It'll feel good. I'm wearing a double-breasted suit. This is serious tonight. This is serious business. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of the whole Bible. And here is my phrase tonight. What I wish more preachers would say is this. I don't know either. I actually don't know either. I think the days of preachers being know-it-alls, feeling like they got the answer to everything, is just not real. There are plenty of times that each and every one of us have to be willing to admit, I don't know. I don't know either. And so I want to talk tonight about embracing the mystery. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know either. Somebody like, but I do know. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read a larger portion of scripture tonight, and I want to, again, what do you do when you don't know? What do you do when feeling like you don't know turns into an extended season of mystery? What do you do when you don't know? Genesis chapter 1, let's start at the very beginning. It says this, first this, God created the heavens and the earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke, light, and light appeared. God saw the light was good and separated light from dark, and God named the light day and he named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one. This reads like poetry. It's so beautiful. God spoke, sky, in the middle of the water, separated water from water. God made sky. He separated the water under sky from the water above sky. And there it was. He named sky the heavens. It was evening. It was morning. Day two. God spoke, separate water beneath heaven, gather into one place. Land appeared. And there it was. God named the land earth. He named the pooled water ocean. I like this statement. God saw that it was good. He thought to himself, I'm good. I'm really good. God spoke, earth, green up, grow all varieties of seed-bearing plants, every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. Earth produced green seed-bearing plants, all varieties and fruit-bearing trees of all sorts. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning, day three. God spoke, lights come out, shine in heaven's sky, separated day from night, mark seasons and days and years, lights in heaven's sky to give light to earth. And there it was. God made two big lights, the larger to take charge of day, the smaller to take charge of night, and he made the stars. God placed them in the heavenly sky to light up earth and oversee day and night to separate light and dark. God saw that it was good. It was evening. It was morning. Day four. God spoke, swarm, ocean with fish and all sea life. Birds fly through the sky over earth. God created the huge whales and all the swarm of life in the waters and every kind and species of flying birds. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill ocean. Birds reproduce on earth. It was evening. It was morning. Day five. God spoke. Earth, generate life, every sort and kind, cattle and reptiles and wild animals, all kinds. And there it was, wild animals of every kind. cattle of all kinds, every sort of reptile and bug. God saw that it was good. Other way, he saw that he was good. God spoke, let us make human beings in our own image. Notice the language changes. Making them reflecting our nature, Father, Son, and Spirit, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth, God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. And he said to human beings, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. And God said, I've given you every sort of seed-bearing plant on earth and every kind of fruit-bearing tree, given them to you for food, to all animals and all birds, everything that moves and breathes. I give whatever grows out of the ground for food. And there it was. God looked over everything he had made, everything he had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening, it was morning, day six. We'll stop there. If you didn't get your Bible reading in recently, you just did. If you run into anybody that's real radical, you know, they're like, do you read your Bible? You can tell them, I read a whole chapter today. Say something. Again, I want us to lean into this thought. I don't know either. And I just want to say, as the leader of this community, that a lot of the time, I don't know either. And I just want you to hear a preacher say that for once. I don't know either. You're always in good company when you run into somebody who is willing to admit when they don't know something. I don't know. And I would like to suggest that the mystery makes plenty of room for God and what he does. Will you join me in prayer? Jesus, thank you for the moments that we share. We love you. You are extraordinary. You are amazing. Help us to maximize the few moments that we have. Speak to us, encounter us. Lord, what we don't need is a talk. What we don't need is tradition. What we don't need is to go through the motions. What we do need is you, the living God, to meet us right where we are at. We thank you for that. Thank you for the off-season moves the Seahawks are making. Give us wisdom in the draft to put the right players around Russ. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 What was that go? Who? Go Hawks, yes, thank you, thank you. I'll never forget the first time I went to the ocean. I was born in Portland, Oregon. If you don't know our story, Chelsea and I, our moms were best friends. They were pregnant together at the same time. Some of you are like, not this again, dear God, Judah. They were best friends. They said, let's have a boy and a girl and try to get them married. And it literally worked out. So I'm a product of arranged marriages. All right, so. But I don't know if it was the first time I went to the Oregon coast, but it is the first time I can remember. We went with my grandma Dorothy. We were staying in an RV, and we arrived at the coast at night. I'm so bad with timelines. I'm gonna say I was approximately 6 or 7 years old, maybe 5. Now, at that point, I had been stuttering my whole life. I was a stutterer, and part of it is especially when I got excited, I would just stutter. And so we arrive at the Oregon coast, and I will never forget what I felt in my little chest. It's as if I could feel the ocean in my chest. As we got closer to this massive, powerful force known as the ocean, I could hear, if you know anything about the Oregon coast, it's windy, the waves can get big, and I could hear the crashing of the waves as we pulled the RV into our little parking spot. Little did I know, in the morning, I would wake up and the ocean would be only but like 20 yards from the RV. And I remember, and I was a scaredy cat. I still am a little bit of a scaredy cat. If we hear a noise in the house, I'm like, Chels, you need to go check that out, girl. She's not afraid of anything, that's the truth. So I laid there and my dad went to sleep. I tried to wake him up. I said, Dad, whoa. He said, son, go to bed. So I went to my grandmother, Grandma Dorothy, and I said, Grandma, you got to wake up. Everybody was asleep by this time. And I said, whoa, what is that? And she said, sweetie, baby, that's the ocean. Why does it sound like that? Well, that's the waves. I said, it sounds angry. I remember feeling the roar. I remember hearing the rumble, and it just one after another. I probably slept an hour or two that night, excitement and also fear, because the sound just kept booming against the RV. And I never forget waking up 6, 7 years old. I walk out for the first time, and I see one of the most powerful forces in the universe. And suddenly, and I was already skinny and small, I felt small. I'm looking at this ocean, and the wind is howling the Oregon coast. You don't ever need to go, but it is ridiculous. You know, you're like, Judah, we'll go to Laguna. Well said. But it's just like, it's just wind sideways, and so it intensifies the sound, and all of my 5 senses are just overwhelmed. This little skinny kid from Portland, Oregon, and I'm staring at the ocean, and I'm thinking to myself, God made this. Now, if you're like me, every time I see an ocean, like flying over ocean, I'm always like, I wonder how many sharks are in where I'm looking right now. That's the first thing that comes to mind. And even back then, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if God could just pull out all the sharks for me just to see him real quick and then put them right back down? Because I've always loved sharks. But I remember thinking, and to this day, I've had a healthy fear of the ocean. Just, man, it's powerful. I love to swim, and growing up, I'd get in the ocean, but had a few scares, and you realize how powerful the ocean is. My brothers and sisters, we just read that God made that body of water by speaking. He made that body of water by talking. It did not exist. He said that it should, so it did. He said, ocean, and it said, that's us. He does this by speaking. And so what I'm saying is this. We are so uncomfortable at times with mystery, and yet for those of us either considering Jesus and his ways, considering the lifestyle of Jesus, we must recognize that this most holy book begins with nothing but mystery. Like, here's the first few words in the whole Bible narrative. In the beginning, God. Explain that. I can't. He was before the beginning. He began the beginning. He always was and always will be, right? Like, try to digest that for a moment. Try to really internalize that. There's something inside our finite, limited being that just goes, what? Life is mystery. But I think sometimes us preachers, we want to explain everything, and we can't. We can't explain everything. I got a friend right now who it seems like all in one season, he's lost everything. But a few months ago, everything was great. Job, family, situation, circumstances. 3, 4 months later, all of a sudden, people are dying. He's losing his job. And he says, man, what's going on? And my response was, I don't know. I don't know. And if I've learned anything, don't live on what you don't know. Just live on what you do know. Just live on what you do know. I don't know. But what I do know is that prayer can make a difference. What I do know is if we'll get together and just talk it out, that'll help too. What I do know is God takes what the enemy means for evil and he works it together for our good. And what I do know is life is long, and we're playing the long game. And so don't get caught up in a season. And so what I'd like to do is to use these next few moments to speak to people who are right now in one of those seasons. If you're like me, your hope and mystery is a moment, but oftentimes it turns into a season. God, why? God, why? Why is this happening? Here's the problem. We believe that mystery is an opponent. We believe that mystery is a problem. I would like to suggest that the mystery is good. The mystery is good. And I want to kind of demonstrate for you in a couple of scenarios, 2 very mysterious scenes where Jesus is with his followers. And I'd like to just extrapolate just a few thoughts and concepts, because there are people in here, you are trying to shake the mystery. You're trying to cover the mystery. You're trying to ignore the mystery. You're trying to pretend the mystery is not there, but the mystery is there for a reason. Please hear me. The mystery is there for a reason. I want to raise babies. I'm raising a 14, 12, and 10-year-old, but I want to raise them not to avoid mystery, but to lean into mystery. It's in the mystery that you can learn so much about God. And if I could say so much about you. Isaiah 55 says, God says, and we don't have to put it up on the screen, but he says, I don't think like you think. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Can I say this? When is the last time you got to the end of your comprehension? You're like, Judah, you're talking about blind faith. No, I'm talking about universal realities. I understand we are so academic as we should be, and I'm grateful and all the learning that we're doing, but we have to admit the mystery of the universe, like gravity. Why do we all stay on the ground? Right? Like, I mean, we got people who try to explain it, but why did that happen? We just read a whole passage that reads like poetry. It is poetry of total mystery. God just is like, that's the moon, and that's the sun. We read that and we're like, yeah, it's the moon, it's the sun. But you say, it came from nothing. He just was like, that's the moon, that's the sun. That'll be for the night, it'll be romantic, that'll be for the sun. He just said it in it. We're not here tonight on the premise of mere intellectual ascension. It's just, this is a place that has embraced mystery. Two scenes I want to share with you, and I'm not going to preach long tonight. I told a friend that I'm going to preach in 35 minutes or less. That friend didn't believe me, but that's my goal. How many of you believe me? Four of you. Taking my chair and going home, man. Ridiculous. Let me say one last thing as we move into these two scenes. God is the orchestrator of mystery. If there's mystery in the universe, God is not the author of calamity. God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of mystery. Now we confuse. Confusion is not to be welcomed in our life, but mystery and confusion are different. Now oftentimes mystery can get us confused or it can lead us to trust. But I want to speak to the mystery. Boy, if you got some situations in your life where you're like, I just don't understand, congratulations. You have an opportunity right now in the unknown to experience spiritual dynamo and growth and progress unlike any other season. Mystery. So our first scene, let's go to two scenes. We'll just do the Gospel of Luke and we'll end here. But I'm hoping that we'll all leave tonight with a little bit of a skip in our step and a twinkle in our eye, looking at each other going, you know what, I don't know either. Luke chapter 8, it reads like this. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, Jesus, and said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. All right, so this is pretty basic scene. He's like, get in a boat. The reason we're going to get in a boat is to get to the other side. Pretty basic. And so they set out, the Bible says. And as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. It's an interesting detail, right? It's like, we don't really need to know Jesus' nap schedule. That's cool. Like, you know, he fell asleep and a windstorm came down on the lake. And they were filling with water and were in danger. Wait a second. The God who created wind and lakes with words is napping, and the wind and the lake seem to be winning. And any preacher who tells you he totally understands this passage is being ridiculous. Why? And folks, it's filling with water, and Jesus is still sleeping. Now, by the way, that's some good sleep. Jesus can sleep, right? Like, this is amazing. It says, and they were in danger, and it goes on. It says, so they went and woke him up. Jesus is sleeping in a windstorm, and the boat's filling with water, and he is still sleeping. By the way, it should be noted, if Jesus is still sleeping, you're going to be all right. Right? Like if you're with somebody who, and you're in an environment where they're an expert in it and they get frazzled, you should get frazzled too. Right, like today, it was funny. We were flying in from Boston, and the flight, we had a lot of turbulence, and I always enjoy turbulence. It's a little bit like, you know, Disneyland in the sky. And I always am waiting for the flight, which is bad to say. I shouldn't say this. Some of you don't like flying. But I'm waiting. I've never had ever a flight where the pilot kind of loses his nerve. Ladies and gentlemen, get in your seat in the name of Jesus, right? Like, that's when you know it's bad. But every time, I've been flying since I was a baby, every time it's like, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we're going to be running into some turbulence here. If you could all please return to your seats and, you know, make sure those belts are pretty tight around you. Like, they don't, that's weird. That was creepy. You know, it's like, and hey, in 12A, girl, I see you. No, I'm kidding. You know what I mean? I wish that happened. I see you, girl, in that exit row. It's ridiculous. So, like, if Jesus, the wind creator and the water maker, like, if he's still sleeping, but it says, Master, Master, listen, this is so ironic. He said, we're dying. We're dying. Here's the first observation I want to make about mystery. You know what's amazing about mystery? In mystery, you will face your weakness. And we think that's bad. That's the problem. We're like, we'll keep ourselves busy all day long. Recently, a friend of mine told me about these inmates who were on death row and they were taught to meditate. And they were teaching them about meditation and just getting in their thoughts. And these are rough and tumble men on death row. And they had them meditating for approximately an hour. Every single one of the criminals broke down and started weeping because for the first time, they faced what they had actually done. In the mystery, it is amazing how suddenly you are faced with your humanity. And we think that's bad. No, for when I am weak, then I am strong and the power of Christ rests upon me. One of the best things that could happen to you is for you to face your weakness. Well, you know, we oftentimes we're in churches where you can't tell somebody, I'm scared. You can't tell somebody, I feel alone. You can't tell somebody, I feel like it's not going to work out. I've been in church long enough, people start talking like, man, you better speak faith, brother. But I feel alone. Well, you're going to keep feeling alone if you keep telling people you feel alone. You need to start telling people that you're alive. Master, we're going to die. Wow. I don't know. Did God create the storm? He certainly set the seasons in motion. By the way, things just happen in the universe because God set things in motion. And then we are subject to futility because of sin, and so it has affected the planet and its weather patterns. Jesus did not intend for this storm to hurt his guys, but boy, he's using it. While he sleeps, they start to wonder, are we going to die? And then watch what happens. Boy, mystery can be a great opportunity for you to realize, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I've been trying to make this thing happen. I've been trying to get to the other side on my own. I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm going to die. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. I love this. This reads so just easy. He woke up, rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. That's pretty radical. I mean, I don't know. We don't know how it happened. He got up and he's just like, peace. And everything just goes, and now the 12 guys, this is moments ago. You ever been like listening to loud music and you'll see you're talking loud and then it gets turned off? You're like, oh girl, I know, so good to see you. Oh, hey everybody, how are you? These guys are like, we're gonna die. Jesus, cease. Jesus, we're gonna, wow. And I love this part because this is so true about mystery. It says in the next verse, he said to them, hey, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And they're so good. They didn't respond to that. They didn't need to. It was more of a statement than a question. And it says, I love this, they were afraid and they marveled. They were afraid and they marveled. See, mystery will produce that in your life. Oh, you'll be afraid, but you'll also marvel. Do you know that you can be afraid and marvel at the same time? You can be like, I have no idea what's happening, but I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm pretty sure God's in control. I still don't feel great, but I feel amazed. In the mystery, you'll experience wonder. Whatever happened to wonder? You're gonna leave that to kids? Kids don't need wonder as much as we need wonder. I need some wonderfulness in my life. I need moments where I see God in places and spaces do things I never thought he could do. And that oftentimes happens when I'm at my weakest. God, I'm gonna die. God does something so wonderful. I didn't know. These guys, it says, and they said to one another, who is this? What do you mean, who is this? You've been with them for a while, guys. Yeah, but we didn't know he had it like that. That's crazy. They said, he talks to air and water, and it obeys him. Well, we get so busy. I'm going to figure out how to get to the other side. I'm going to work this out. This storm is a direct correlation to when I started dating him or her. And so the key is, and then it's, I stopped reading the Bible. That's what it was. And then what I stopped making my faith declarations. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get to the other side because I, you know, sometimes storms just happen. Right? We think storms are always a result of us. I don't know if we're that powerful. Storms just happen, but in the storm, here comes the mystery, like, God, why? And he's like silent because he's taking a nap. He was back then. He doesn't nap anymore. Good news. But and all of a sudden, you're faced with your weakness, but in weakness, you're primed for wonder. Wow, God, you did that? Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Jesus did that with a smile. They woke him up. He's like, hey, guys. I mean, Jesus is probably wet from all the, you know, they're like, what are you, Jesus, you're sleeping in a pool of water. And he gets up and he's like, peace. I think he said like this. I think he turned around and he's like, hey, guys, where's your faith? You know what I mean? Like, what? Don't pretend mystery's not there. Let's not play pretend. Let's embrace it. There's some people in here, you feel like God told you to go to the other side, and you're on your way to the side God told you to go to, and your boat or your life is filling with water, and it is wind out of control. And you're starting to go, every time I go the direction God wants me to go, mystery kicks up. I feel weak. I feel weary. Yeah, but keep your head up and look around. Because I believe he's about to do something wonderful. He's gonna surprise you. He's gonna surprise you. Our last scene, I'm actually on schedule, by the way. The last scene I wanna look at is actually just a few pages later. It's in Luke chapter 9. And Jesus is just quoted as saying, it's basically his thesis to his disciples, if you desire to come after me, deny yourself, follow me, take up your cross every single day. And it jumps now to verse 28 in chapter 9. And it says, now about 8 days after these sayings, he took up with him Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. Listen to this mystery. They're just going to do some praying. Like they've done some praying before. But watch what happens in this prayer meeting. As he was praying, the appearance of Jesus' face was altered. I am glad I was not at this prayer meeting. I'm just going to say that right now because I do not have the constitution for these kind of prayer meetings, okay? His face was altered. His clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him. What? Moses and Elijah have just been transported some 5,000 years, and now they're standing in the prayer meeting, talking to Jesus. It says this, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure and what he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. I love that. He was like Moses and Elijah, I'm about to do it. I'm about to do it. Now, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets, and the scripture declared that he would fulfill the law and the prophets. Jesus, the conversation was something like this. Jesus said, Moses, what you couldn't do, I'm about to do. Elijah, what you only talked about, I'm actually going to perform. And Moses and Elijah were like, you're the man. It's you, right? Thanks for letting us be here. This is crazy. And I think one of those guys must have been like, what are we going to do when the guys wake up? Because it says, now Peter and those who are with him were heavy in sleep. But when they become fully awake, I love that, they became fully awake. They saw his glory. And they saw Moses and Elijah who stood with him. I love this part. This is classic Peter. Peter has most of the lines in the Gospels. And as the men were parting from him, so Elijah and Moses were like, the guys are up. We're going to leave you guys. Okay, Jesus, you're the man. Love you. And Peter jumps up before they leave, like, Master, it is good that we are here. I love this. It is so good that we're here. Let us, mostly me, make three tents, one for you, Moses, don't you be leaving, one for you, Elijah, you get back here, buddy, and one for you. He probably looked back at James and John like, you wish you guys nailed that line. You want to talk about mystery? Look at the next verse. This actually happened. As he was saying these things, can you imagine if you could do this to people who were like saying things that were kind of making them look silly? A cloud came and overshadowed Peter. Smog, fog, you know, just, ooh. Peter's like, what did I say? You know? I love this. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Yeah. Folks, this is a prayer meeting gone ridiculously wild. Right? They were just like, they wake up to guys who are 5,000 years old talking with Jesus. Peter like wants to join in. He's like, I'll just make three tents for you. It's going to be amazing. And the cloud just is like basically going, no. And I love this part. And a voice came out of the cloud. That would be God the Father. I love this. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. That is the nicest way God could tell Peter to shut up. That's exactly what that is. He's like, this is a cloud. This is me staying to stop. I mean, how mysterious is all this? Why was I invited to the prayer meeting if you were going to cloud me? And it says, I love this end. It's like, yeah, this is kind of an obvious end, but it says, I can read it out of this one if we don't have it up on the screen. And it says, then when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And I love this last. And they kept silent, and they didn't really tell anyone the days of anything, what they had seen. Well, I bet they didn't. Peter's like, don't you guys dare tell nobody what happened here. The mystery. A couple observations as we conclude. I think oftentimes we run away from mystery, we avoid it, we cover it, we pretend it's not there, we're afraid of it. Again, we're establishing tonight that I don't know is a good thing. Oftentimes in the mystery, we learn, and sometimes in difficult ways, how to listen. Peter did the normal human thing when something mysterious happens, something unknown, something wild, something beyond your comprehension. Peter just goes, hey, it's good that I'm here. It's like, oh, because it's so mysterious and beyond your understanding and beyond your comprehension, you just keep talking. And what you should do is listen. Isn't it crazy when mystery kicks, we just run our mouth? Well, it's been the worst season. It's been so difficult. I just can't, but I'm going to figure it out. You know, do you have any suggestions? Any podcasts, any things? Because we fill our life with answers and we go to seminars and we go to meetings and all those things are wonderful and great because oftentimes we think that's going to be the key to get through the season, to get through this mountaintop moment that is beyond me. Are those guys Moses and Elijah? What? I'm going to build you tents. And this is what we do in mystery. We find something to do. I'm going to find something to do. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to make this prayer meeting happen. Moses, don't you leave. You come back here. You commanding 5,000-year-old people come back from the dead what to do. Because it's this Peter, once again, he's the human condition on full display. And God just makes it real clear. He puts him in further mystery. He's in a cloud. And God says, Peter, I need you to listen. I need you to listen. I need you to listen. How much listening have you been doing lately? Now, if that's not semi-challenging, you don't live in 2019. But for the rest of us, listening can be hard because we actually hear so much, we often don't take time to listen. Do you hear what I'm saying? We hear music, we hear podcasts, we hear things, we hear, but are we listening? Listening oftentimes requires a quietness. When's the last time you got quiet inside and out and just listened? And you know what's crazy? After God says to Peter, listen, nothing else is said. Because we're like, oh, I'm going to listen. There we go. I'm going to listen, but I better hear the Lord. What if just the act of listening is the way you're going to learn? Okay, God. I can't tell you who it was, but there was three family members once in my life, and I didn't get permission to tell this. It's not my kids. Some other family members. And their mom sat them down on the bed. She said, y'all are going to hear from God today. And so all three boys closed their eyes as tight as they could, and they listened for God. A few minutes later, mom came back. My aunt, to be exact, she came back. She said, boys, what'd you hear? And the oldest, he said, God said this. And the youngest said, God said this. And the middle son, he said, he opened his eyes and said, man, I didn't hear nothing. He's the one named after me. But it's not always about hearing. Sometimes it's just about listening. Be still and know that I am God and you are not. You are not the God on this mountain. You're not the God in this boat. You're not the captain of your ship. You are not the director of your destiny. That's God. That's God. And lastly, I end with this, and I'm coming to a close at approximately 36 minutes. Welcome, spring and summer. This is amazing. But it says, after the cloud, the voice of God, and Jesus was found alone. Can I play with these words? Jesus, I want you to see. Jesus was found alone. Can you see it? Jesus was found alone. Jesus was found alone. Wait a second. What if the mystery is here so that Jesus was found alone? That the only thing you found was Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Jesus was found alone. He alone was found. He alone was the result of this mysterious encounter. Not Elijah. Not Moses. No, we're not building tents for Moses and Elijah. Just Jesus. Peter comes out of the cloud, and who does he see? Jesus alone. What we fail to recognize, it's in the mystery. When we come to the end of ourselves and realize, all I need is Jesus. That's what I need. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm also the truth, and I'm also the life. And when the storms kick up and the winds build and the waves surge and the clouds move in and cover our understanding, it's in those moments you might experience the zenith moment of the human existence, which was when it dawns on you, Jesus is enough. I was on an emergency chartered flight to Las Vegas. You know the story. Those of you that have been a part of church, and my dad They were keeping him alive so I could say goodbye to him. And I'm on that plane, just my family. A wonderful businessman chartered the plane for us so that we could get there in time before my dad passed. So I'm on a plane, and it's just my family. It's so just my family, I'm going to talk to God like nobody else is around. I said, really, God? Really? With all the people who aren't good, you're going to take one of the good ones? You want to talk about mystery? My dad was my hero, one of the kindest men who've ever lived. If you ran into my dad, he would feel like he was your dad. He was a hugger. He was an encourager. He was a celebrator of life and people and humanity. And cancer takes him at 60. And I'm on that plane. I'm letting God know how I feel. I'm in the clouds. I'm in the storm. And I'm going, what? And all I heard was this, and I didn't hear it audibly, but I heard it in my heart. And here's what I got. Am I not enough? And I don't know why, and I'm not saying this happens for everybody, but in that moment, I instantly got gratefulness for having a dad like my dad for 30 years. And I instantly recognized the opportunity I would now have for the rest of my life to recognize that God was my true father. I can't explain the storm. I don't know either. I can't explain the fog and the clouds. I don't know either. We could lean into these stories more and go, why the cloud? Why the mystery? I don't know. But what I do know is Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's what I'm ending, I promise. It's right at 40 minutes. That was my goal, wasn't it? Look. I'm done. I wish I could tell you. Oh, how many times I've talked with some of you, text message, phone calls, voicemails, emails, coffee meetings. Pastor, what do you think? What do you think is wrong? And I didn't start saying this as a young pastor. I say, well, I think maybe it's this. And I think the reason God told you to go to the other side and the storm happened is because, and then the reason you got called to the prayer meeting with God, but then the fog settled in and you know, I think, and now I usually just look at them. Man, I don't know. I know I love you. I know God loves you. But here's what we do know. Mystery can do things for you that nothing else can. Nothing else can. Nothing else can. My friend and I were talking about this the other day. You meet somebody who's really gone through pain. Translation, mystery. There's something about people like that. They've been through some mystery and they're still walking and they're still talking and they're still encouraging. There are people in this room, I want you to know, if you could hear this from me, God's proud of you. He knows you're weak. He knows it's difficult. He's not mad at you. You're trying to go to the other side like he told you. And then all of a sudden, here's all this resistance. Here's all these storms. Here's all these challenges. Here's all these difficulties. God, what are you saying? I don't know. But what we do know is Jesus is good. And he is God. And I got a sense that you're going to make it through the fog. You're going to make it through the storm. Will it hurt, Judah? A lot of times it does. Will God take the hurt away? Sometimes. Not all the time? Nah. What I wish more preachers would say. Will it always hurt? Sometimes, yeah. My mom and I talk all the time. Mom, is it still hard? Yeah, it'll always be hard. Wake up every day thinking I'm going to see your father in my bed. Why? I don't know. But again, church home, we're going to live on what we do know. And what we do know is in these conundrums of life, we see our weakness. We learn to listen. We see his wonder. And we finally come to that all-important place. And I know these are not popular phrases, but we come to that place where all I really need is Jesus. Can't live without him. And man, if you're a parent in here, what more would you want your children to grow up with but a profound, internal, personal, intimate sense that if I need anything and anyone, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for the moments that we share. And God, I feel the sensitivity in the room for so many people who are in the middle of the mystery. So many people here right now, so many watching on the app, so many watching online. They're literally sitting in the middle of a mysterious season that is beyond their understanding. And I am asking that you would do what only you can do in the mystery. Even if you don't take the mystery away, even if the storm doesn't clear, the clouds don't clear in a moment, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the clouds, show us who we are and show us who you are. We want true life. We don't want to play pretend anymore. We want to walk with you even in the storms and cloudy mountaintops. We trust you, Jesus. We trust you, Jesus. If you're here tonight, you'd say, Judah, I would like to receive the free gift of forgiveness that only Jesus offers. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And even if you're watching right now on the app or online, I want to pray for you. He said, Judah, I want to receive the free gift of forgiveness. All it takes is a moment of receptivity. You open up the gift of forgiveness in relationship with God. It comes by what Jesus has done, not by what you have done. There is zero pressure, zero expectation. Please don't feel any obligation. But if you know that God is real and he's speaking to you right now and you want to accept the free gift of forgiveness and become a follower of Jesus on the count of three, on the app, in this room, in the balcony, wherever you are, he said, Judah, I receive. I want to become a follower of Jesus and a recipient of his forgiveness. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand and put it right back down. I ask you to raise your hand because I believe when you respond on the outside to what's happening on the inside, it becomes all the more real to you. You know who you are. One, God loves you. Two, you'll never be the same. Three, if that's you, shoot your hand up all over the room. I receive the free gift of forgiveness. On the app, you just, even if you're in a living room, you're in a cafe, just slip up your hand real quick. Becomes all the more real to you. God, I thank you for every hand raised. Most importantly, for every heart and soul it represents. And I thank you that forgiveness flows freely here at Church Home. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And secondly, and I don't always do this, but I'm going to ask a second response. If you're here and you're in the middle of mystery, you're in the middle of a mysterious season, you're in the middle of a season or a moment that is beyond your understanding, you've even find yourself asking why, and you felt like, I don't know anymore, and you say, man, Judah, I want to embrace the mystery. I want to embrace the mystery. In this all, I'm going to see Jesus like I've never seen him before. I want to experience wonder that you're talking about. If I'm talking to you, would you shoot your hand up and say, that's me, that's right where I'm at. So God, we're right in the middle of it. We're right in the middle. We feel, Lord, like we're in the storm. We're in the clouds. But we just want to say, Lord, what we don't know, we don't know. But what we do know is that you are good and you are faithful. And what you started in us, you'll be faithful to complete it. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are God, and beside you, there is no other. I ask for fortitude. I ask for faith. I ask for strength. I ask for grace upon every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice who find themselves in the unknown, who find themselves in a space where it seems like nothing makes sense and nothing's coming together. God, in all that, work in wonderful ways. Do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask, think, or even imagine possible. This is our prayer and this is our declaration. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.